having a good time already? We're so happy you're here, and we have so many more exciting things planned for you tonight. My name is Macy.
And I'm Alex. And I do see a lot of people I know, friends and family, but I also see a lot of unfamiliar faces as well. So I want to say a few things. First of all, if you're a guest, you're very welcome to be here. If you're watching online, thanks for joining us. And if you ever get a chance to come on out in person, we'd love to have you.
And we have so many exciting things happening here at Charleston Church that we want to be able to connect with you. So if it's your first time here or you haven't been with us for a while, go ahead and pull out your phone. I give you permission. And go ahead and text HOPE to 944-5343.
Again, HOPE to 944-5343. If you're a guest and you text that number, you're going to be entered to win one of five $50 Amazon gift cards that are given away to new people. Also, if you are here, I believe we're live streaming. You can take your phone out, share that live stream on our Charleston Church Facebook page. And that will get the word out so everyone can see the amazing things we're doing here at the church.
So now let's get our night started with the choir singing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, you enjoying yourself so far? We've got some incredible singers and talent, but how many would agree with me that Christmas tends to sneak up on you a little bit? I can't see your hands, so if that's you, just say, amen. Yeah, it just feels like just yesterday we were swimming in the lake, but you try to do that now, you come home a little bit cold. It just feels like we just celebrated Christmas yesterday, and here we are again. But we got a song here today just to kind of bring us all on the same page that even though Christmas comes like a flash and it's bam, it's here, it's still the greatest time of year, it's the most fun time of year, and if you're with me and you believe that even though it's hectic and crazy and wild, that Christmas is the best time of year, I want you to clap your hands right now. And I hope you enjoy this next song, It's Christmas Time Again.
Children who attend Kids on the Move to come to the stage at this time, and all of my workers. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Mariah, and I'm the children's pastor here with a program called Kids on the Move. Kids on the Move is for children ages 2 to the 5th grade. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 in the Epic Center. The Epic Center is a building that was built specifically for the youth. Every week we sing fun songs, we play cool games, we develop relationships, and we also enjoy fun and interactive and engaging skits. Every week children both learn about Jesus and experience Jesus in Kids on the Move.
go ahead. Would you welcome, help me welcome Kids on the Move as they sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
That's a lot of kids. That's a good thing to have, though, right? Weren't they great? Let's give them another hand. Especially this one.
Our children's pastor is Mariah Fonts, and she grew up right here in this church and became involved at a very young age. And we are so blessed and thankful to call her our children's pastor. Mariah and her great team of leaders do a fantastic job bringing God's word to life for the children each week.
Our children's program here in Charleston is second to none. So if you have a kid or you know a kid, again, between the ages of 2 or the 5th grade, every Sunday morning we have Kids on the Move, 10:30. We welcome you to invite them out to join Kids on the Move.
Now we have something very special for you guys. We have a skit by two of our great Kids on the Move workers, Rocky and Heather.
Hello, everybody. My name's Heather. I am so excited to share with you guys tonight my favorite story in the whole Bible. Okay, this is the best story ever, okay? It's like probably the greatest thing that's ever happened, and there's nothing in the whole world that could put a damper on how excited I am to tell you guys tonight. Are you guys ready? It's gonna be so good. Are you ready? Okay, all right. So like I was saying, I'm so excited, like more excited than probably, what is that music? Okay, what's going on? What are you doing here? Excuse me, who are you? I'm trying to tell a story.
Okay. My name here today is Reginald Fastidius III. I don't expect you to spell it. However, I am here tonight. I am the most fantastic, I am the most clarifying, and of course, most important, the far most handsome. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Anyways, I am a Shakespearean Bible reenactor, and today I will bring this story to life right on this very stage.
I'm trying to tell a story. I don't think that that's
okay.
Really
hold on. Okay, you need this. Okay, is this in here? Is where the magic is. Okay. All you have to do, the audience just needs to stare in awe and wonder at me, and all you have to do is just narrate the story. That's all you get to do. It's easy.
Okay, not really what I had in mind. But
fear not. Okay, I've seen your few meager talents that you possess. And I know, as I know without a shadow of a doubt, that you will be able to accomplish this and not ruin this for me, right?
I will try.
Okay, there's no trying. You will succeed. So, Vasily, let us go.
All right, let's see here. Once there was a ruler named Caesar Augustus.
It is I, Caesar, king of Salads.
He made a law that everyone in the Roman world had to go to their hometowns to be counted so that he could collect taxes from them.
What's so funny? I'm all wrapped up in my microphone.
What? No, 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 no. Stop. That's enough. We're not going to be doing this.
Huh? What?
No, this is awful.
This is ABBA. Have you not heard the band ABBA? This ABBA? Song is off their greatest hits album. How
right.
dare you?
Okay.
I am personally offended by this.
Okay. Anyway, that meant that a man named Joseph.
Call me Joe.
And his fiance, Mary.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, gosh. Who was pregnant?
It's a big belly here. Okay. Joseph, does this tunic make me look fat?
They had to travel all the way to the town where Joseph was from, Bethlehem. Mary wasn't too happy about this long trip.
Joseph, are you serious? I can't walk all the way there to Bethlehem. I mean, my toes are swollen, and yeah, I'm just not feeling good. Don't feel good.
So Joseph made other arrangements.
Have no fear, my dear, for I have made alternative transportation.
So Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem. It's very likely that they rode on a donkey.
Yeah, yeah, the donkey, the go. He's a good donkey, he is.
Oh my goodness, where was I? Okay, rode on a donkey. Oh yes, Mary probably rode on the donkey.
Joseph, why didn't you bring me the Dramamine when I asked? It's the sickness of the morning. Oh!
You guys, I'm so sorry. This isn't what I had planned, really. So when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, Joseph tried to find a place for them to stay. He checked out the first inn that they came to.
Monsieur, there it is tonight. Monsieur, mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you here tonight, this evening, here in Charleston, Maine. It's almost there, it's almost... Yes! B. Ah! Yeah! Oh, wait. You, bald man. You have no reservation? You didn't call Salvatore. You didn't talk to Jacques Cousteau. You didn't talk to Ruffy. Ah, you have no reservation. Nice. Goodbye.
Mary and Joseph then visited several other places with the same result.
Ah, I'm so sorry. I have no place for you to stay here tonight. Everyone is here for the census, and you know, I just got no more room. I'm sorry.
Mary and Joseph started to leave, but then this innkeeper got creative.
Ah, yes. Well, actually, there is a barn out back, and you know, with a little bit of shoveling, some cleaning, you might be able to make it homey at best. I mean, it's not what you're looking for, but hey, might do the trick.
By this time, Mary and Joseph were just happy to have a roof over their heads. Late that night, in a quiet little town among the animals, God gave us the greatest gift ever when his very own son, Jesus, was born.
Ah, this is my favorite part of the story. You know, this is such a special little baby. He changed the entire
Reginald,
world.
Wait.
Does it change the entire world?
Reginald, did you forget something?
Ah, ole! Yes, wait! Easy! It's a baby here! Gee, I'm the cat. Amateurs, I'm telling you. So this sweet little baby right here, this little thing right here, he traveled across the world. He went on, and you know, he changed the entire world.
That's right, he did. You know, I think that's a great place to call it. Let's say the end, okay? You can take your bow. Good job.
Take my bow? There it is. That's the bow, everyone.
Thank you, Reginald.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
I will say goodbye. Farewell.
Well, that was certainly an interesting take on the Christmas
story.
Oh,
wait. Say goodbye one last time. Charleston, Maine. You're a great audience. Thank you for that pity. Thank you very much. Good night.
What I hope you didn't all miss in all of the theatrics was that on that night, the greatest gift ever was born. Thank you for being here tonight to celebrate Jesus' birth.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for coming here tonight. We are the Ugly Christmas Sweater Singers, and we are going to sing...
Take it all in, folks.
Wow. We are going to sing our favorite song, The 12 Days of Christmas.
Yes.
No,
Matt?
You guys see Matt anywhere? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Our fourth of the quartet is carrying all of our music, and the song we're going to sing is quite complicated. Lots of parts, a lot of moving things. And without him, unfortunately, we can't really really do it. But if you guys could just sit for a minute.
Stay.
Mike, you and I will go find Anthony. You tell them that joke you know. I'll be right back. Where is it?
Okay. There was a rabbi, a nun, and a pastor, and they walk into the church.
I'm here.
Okay.
Don't finish that joke.
Good,
I know how it
good,
is.
Good.
Here, I got all the music here.
Come on, Matt.
Oops. What do we do now?
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I mean, are you okay? That's clearly what I'm concerned about right now.
I have to go to the hospital, but it's fine. It's fine. We'll be fine.
Okay. Why is there so much music here?
Well, I knew we were going to, we're going to kill it up here. And they're probably going to want an encore, so I just grabbed all our music.
Paul.
This is our
music.
What did you do?
Oh, my nose.
Paul, are you okay? What are you doing?
Right? No, I think my solar plexus got hurt.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, hang on.
Are you all right?
Am I bleeding? Am I bleeding?
Hey, Anthony, I got you covered. Yeah, you're bleeding. Yeah, you're going to need this.
Fresh?
Maybe.
Okay.
Why do you carry around toilet paper in your back pocket?
Okay.
In case an accident happens.
Okay.
I don't want to hear the story behind that. No.
Are you serious? All of it? Up your nose.
I'm bleeding.
That's a little excessive. No?
That's an excessive amount of blood. I need the absorption.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's just go. Can we just start here?
I need some of these, right?
Yeah, take...
Yeah, Mike, don't
there they are.
This is
I
going
got,
well.
No, it's right here. Perfect.
This one's
Heather, if you could help us out. What a G, please.
Ready? All right.
You ready?
On
the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
Bum, bum.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fourth day of Christmas,
on the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Yeah.
Bye.
You need
this one right here.
Yeah. That's mine. Okay. Yep. All right.
Five golden rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Right there, that one.
Okay.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love
gave
to me
nine
ladies dancing, eight maids a-milking, seven maids a-milking, six maids a-milking, five.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Take that out of your nose.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Gross.
You are being a very bad friend.
You just yeah.
Am I okay?
Yeah.
Do I need to go to the doctor?
Probably, but we'll figure it out later. It'll be fine.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
We can do it.
Let's do this.
All by ourselves.
All right. Yep, ready?
Ready?
We're right here.
Oh, yeah.
Better not shout. Better not cry. You better not ridge in a pear tree.
Something's
wrong.
That wasn't quite right. Okay.
On the ninth day of Christmas.
No. We just did nine. So it's got to be.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true.
Can't go backwards.
We just did eight.
Okay. Let's go farther back.
Okay. Here.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Seven
here we come,
songs a swimming,
sing
six
among
geese
the lake. So five
golden
rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens, two turtle doves.
Here we come, a swimming among the leaves so green.
Bedecked
with bass
and partridge
in a pear tree.
Okay.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming,
5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
pum 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 pum. Me and my dreidel.
I had a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, with dreidel I will play. Oh, okay. Dreidel, that's dreidel, dreidel. Anthony. I made it out of clay. Hey, and when it's dry and ready, stop with dreidel.
It's not in here.
I will play.
You're at the wrong song.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Trip over the stairs and throw the music everywhere. I'm embarrassing you. Okay.
That was an accident. You did that on purpose.
That's true. I will tell you that much. Okay. All right. Let's just do 12.
I like the spotlight. Okay.
Before it gets too difficult. Can you give us an E, please?
Okay.
Let's finish this off right now.
Okay. Yes.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. My true love gave to me. Drumming five
wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. Is coming to town.
For Christmas is my two front teeth.
Dreaming of a partridge a-laying. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. I'll be home for Christmas.
And a hound dog in a pear tree.
Three fat hens and a duck. Let's go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
Enough. Come on.
Thank you.
Come on. No,
don't get mad. They
don't encourage him. Let's go.
They
Let's go.
It.
No way.
Isn't it amazing that over 2,000 years ago, the restorer of our brokenness, the healer of our afflictions, and the savior for our sins came down from heaven for you and I, so the gap between us and God can finally be bridged, and the way to the Father be made complete. This is something worth sharing. This is something worth praising about. It's time to spread the news. Let your voices shout to the rooftops and declare his name in the streets, for there is a hope, and his name is Jesus. Let the whole world know that Emmanuel has come.
Because As I said at the beginning of our time together, God loves to do new things. And as I was sitting here, I can't explain some things about how God works, but I just sit here thinking, there's got to be dozens at a minimum, hundreds probably, of you that if it were possible to have a brand new start, to start over, that you'd take it. That you would give everything that you have to have a brand new beginning. And tonight I need to tell some of you for the first time, and I need to tell all of you for another time, that Jesus Christ coming to the earth is God's permission for you to start over again. If anything could have been done to turn God's back on humanity, trust me, friends, it has already been done. But God's unending love. Now, let me just say this. There's nobody in this place, starting with the guy holding this microphone, on the platform, to the seats, to the balcony, to online, that's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But God's love for you is stronger than His information about you. I'm going to try that again, because by the way you reacted, you didn't hear me. I said, God's love for you is greater than God's information for you. And there ought to be a few Christians that are happy about that in church tonight. God's love for you is bigger, stronger than the case against you. But I need you to know that because God gives you new beginnings doesn't mean that you don't sometimes feel some pressure. And tonight, I really wanted to talk to you about Joseph very briefly. Because Joseph, I think, could stand in many of our shoes. I think if you and I could just sit down and have coffee with Joseph, I think there are some things in his life he learned that you and I could get some help from. The Bible says that the angel appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, you and your engaged wife Mary are going to have a child. But the child will not be yours. She will give birth to my son. And it set off a whole series of things in his mind that created fear. Now, if you'll just please somehow let God speak to you as I try to tell you this Bible story, I really believe, I have a crazy faith, that you could leave differently than the way you came in here tonight. Fear. Let me talk to you about a few fears that are out there. Some common ones: acrophobia, a fear of heights; amaxophobia, riding in a car. I guess it determines by who's driving. Aviophobia, I don't think I pronounced it right, the fear of flying. Claustrophobia, being stuck in small spaces. But here's a few that maybe you're not aware of, and hopefully you don't have it. I'm not sure I can pronounce it. Arachibutyrophobia. It's the fear of peanut butter being stuck to the roof of your mouth. That's serious. Coulrophobia, the fear of clowns. That's not funny. Lepisilipophobia. This is a really tough one. It's the fear of being chased by wolves around a kitchen table while you're in socks on a newly waxed floor. That's serious business, friend. And here's one, the last one. I hope I've met people with it, but I hope you don't have it. It's ecclesiophobia. It's the fear of preachers. They tell us that the United States is the most anxious nation on the planet. 40% of Americans will admit that they're dealing with anxiety. And I find it very interesting and a bit relieving, really, that so many of the characters around the birth of Christ, we begin to see that they're not superhuman, that they're actually human like the rest of us. I might not be able to identify you with your strengths, but I might be able to identify with you in some of your struggles. And God clearly lets us see a part of Joseph that helps us to realize he's a mortal man, a mortal human being. He had two areas of fear. Number one, what will people say? You see, in his day, for Mary to become pregnant before they're married and then to declare that her baby's God would be blasphemy and could mean death. The first fear he had was the fear of man, the fear of what people think. The second fear was the reality in his mind as a father in Galilee. He knew that every father had two primary purposes. The first purpose was that it was his responsibility to pass the faith of God onto their children. Their first responsibility was to pass on the faith. The second was to pass on a trade. And I don't know about you, but I don't know a person that's a parent that's not intimidated by the task. And I don't know anybody that feels like they've been a perfect parent. But thank the Lord, I never had to raise God's son. So he's got the fear, watch this. I think you can identify with Joseph more than you think. He's got the fear of what people will say, and he's got the fear of not being worthy. He's got the fear of I'm not good enough. And the Bible says that after the angel spoke to him, he began to consider some things in his mind. Now let me just detail what happens. Fear is a real thing. Fear enters your life through thoughts. Did you hear that? Fear enters your life through thoughts. And once fear gets into your thoughts, it gets into your body and turns into anxiety. And then that anxiety becomes worry that affects your decisions. So watch the journey of fear. Fear gets into your life by a thought. It affects your existence by anxiety. And it affects your decisions by worry. I read this week about a man that worked for a train company. And he got into one of the refrigerated cars, and it got near closing time, and the guys didn't know he was in there, and they closed the door and they locked the door in the refrigerated train car. He realized he couldn't get out. He picked up a screw and began to etch into the wall his last remarks to his family. The next morning, the men came back to work, opened the door, and there he lay on the ground in a state of hypothermia. They rushed him to the hospital. He survived. But what's strange about the story is that those guys at work went on to tell that the refrigeration unit in that train car had already broken. And he endured hypothermia in a room that was 55 degrees. That's the power of fear entering by your thoughts, affecting your body by anxiety, and influencing your decisions by worry. Time magazine did an article recently on anxiety, and let me just stop right here because I think there's a bunch of people here saying, "Oh man, I'm no good." I'm going to tell you, I wish God would send somebody else to preach this to you because I wish I could say I never dealt with it, but I have learned how to conquer it. I'll tell you this, and before I get too far, you can't run from fear, but you can fight it. All right, I'll go back to my message. I'm going to rewind the tape. Say that again. You don't need to run from fear, but tonight you're going to be able to fight it in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Time magazine. I don't like talking about bad news too long. It worries me. Time magazine did an article on anxiety, and they talked about the sources of it. Family systems, money or the lack of it, the 24-hour lifestyle, noise, temporary jobs, success. If you think failure is pressurized, wait till you succeed. You'll lose half your friends. Here's a good one, social media. Oh no, social media. I don't know how many of you, don't raise your hand. Oh, go ahead. How many of you have had a perfectly good day and then you made the mistake of turning on Facebook and somebody had a bad day, puked on Facebook, and you started having a good day, now you're having a bad day, and nothing's changed in your world except you looked on Facebook. Time magazine said that there's a cure. Here's Time magazine's cure for anxiety. Get cognitive or behavioral therapy. And I'm not against these things, but look what they're suggesting. Behavioral cognitive therapy, antidepressants, minor tranquilizers, exercise, yoga, aromatherapy, acupuncture. I'm thinking, Man, if I think I have it bad now, wait till they twist me into knots, stick needles in me, study my brain, pump me full. That's got me worried. And again, I'm not here. I know it's a sensitive subject, and I'm not here to combat any attempts that you've made, but I have come to tell you that you should not dismiss that Jesus Christ will give you the power to overcome fear. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25. Let me give you an option maybe you haven't considered. He said in Matthew 6, 25, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? In another scripture, he says he calls them ravens. He goes on to talk about the lilies of the field, how Solomon's great kingdom had no comparison with the beauty of the lily of the field. And then he talks about how God takes care of even a lamb. There is a secret in those three little illustrations that I want to share with you tonight, that you can be assured that God can rid you of all fear. Number one, the ravens. The Bible says that God thinks that you're more worthy than a raven. You know, a raven is a dirty bird. I don't know, does anybody have a pet raven today? I watched It's a Wonderful Life the other night. They had a pet raven in the bank. I wouldn't go to that bank. But what other people see as a dirty bird, God sees as a creation that He feeds. And the Bible says you're more valuable than the raven or the dirty bird. I think there are times that we are fearful that God won't provide because we feel like we're the dirty bird. That we're unworthy, that we're unclean, that we've done too much wrong, and we've gone too far from Him, and we've gotten involved in the wrong things. And sometimes it's the stuff that's happened to us that we say, I'm not worthy, and I'm afraid that God will dismiss me. But God wants you to know that the dirtiest bird in creation gets the feeding of the Father, and if you come to Christ tonight, you're no longer that dirty person you thought you were. You become clean in the sight of God, and you can be assured that He will not count you as unworthy, but you become as if you were His adopted child. Telling you, nobody's in this place worthy before God because of their goodness. They're worthy because of Jesus Christ that come into their life. 2,000 years ago, this same boy that was born was the Savior, bore His own cross, was crucified, brutally beaten. It was the wrath and punishment for the sins of Matt Ward, for the sins of every person in this place. I don't know where you've been to church or what kind of soft preaching you've heard, but I've come to tell you the truth. Sin deserves judgment. And guess what? Jesus took it on the cross. And we can stand before God and say, I'm clean. I'm clean. I've been purified. I'm worthy. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. Come on, give Him better praise than that. You couldn't do it, but He did it for you. You can walk out of this building tonight with every ounce of guilt and shame washed away from your life. Number two, the lilies. He says, I clothe the lilies. The lilies, they don't go to the mall. They don't go shopping. They don't say, does this dress make me look thin? And yet, Bible says that God makes sure every one of them has beauty. They're clothed. Listen to this. God not only will help you because He's forgiven you, God will help you because He cares about the details of your life. Now, let's not get silly about it. But there are some people who think God's got bigger things to take care of. If it matters to you, it matters to God. And thirdly, a lamb. He said, I'll take care of the ravens, I'll take care of the lilies, and I'll take care of the lamb. If you heard about a lion escaping from a zoo somewhere, you would assume that everybody would run for their lives. But nobody's run for their life when they've heard a lamb has gotten away from the flock at the local farm here in Charleston. No, if you heard a little lamb was free on Bacon Road, you'd take your children out to see it and pet it. Because lions are dangerous, but lambs are not. I believe when Jesus was saying, I take care of the lambs, He says, I take care of the things that you can't. The little lamb does not have the ability to protect itself from the wolf, doesn't protect itself from the coyote, doesn't protect itself from the bear. The lamb must have a shepherd. And there are some of you here tonight, you're struggling. You're battling, and it didn't start Christmas. You've been battling this year, and you're like, man, there's just so much I can't do. I got good news. That's the place that God likes to work. I said the places that you can't make it happen are the places that God likes to make it happen, so that you can see that He was there to make you clean. He was there to take care of the details, and He loves to do the impossible. See, none of these things are saying that God will take away the fear. All of these things are to tell us that God is going to make you stronger than what you fear. Can you hang in there for about 5 more minutes? How many give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. I got stuff to do tonight. I think much of our culture is trying to learn how to stop being afraid. And what God's message is, start being strong. Hello? If you live your life saying, I can't be afraid, you'll be afraid. But if you live your life saying, God, make me strong, you'll never be afraid. If one of these little children came up and said, I'm going to kick you in the shin, I might not like it, but I'm not afraid. Because I'm bigger than they are. Look at this preacher on this. Don't get ecclesiophobia on me. Look at me tonight. God is bigger than the government. Somebody ought to say, thank God Almighty. I don't care if you're an atheist, you ought to thank God for that. God is bigger than the economy. God is bigger than medical, the world. Come on, God is bigger than all these things. And He's your God, and He's in your corner. I'm sorry, I'm not like other preachers. I believe what I preach. I live it. I have found out in the midnight when fear tremors come to you, you can say, Father, help me. And He gives you peace that passes all understanding. And it didn't come from some religious ritual. It came from the Father of peace. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Wouldn't it be nice? It sure is. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank Him for all He's done, and then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. This is something that will close right here. His peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Nothing will guard your heart, your emotions, or your mind, your thoughts, like the peace of God. I don't travel all over the world. I live in Maine, and I like it. I like every month, and I just want to tell all of you visitors a secret. God told me, of all the states, Maine is His favorite. You say you're a false prophet. Take it up with God. But if we do travel, I always have this thought in my mind that border control can keep me out of coming back into the country. My wife and I were in Spain. Josue is around here running the camera somewhere. And there he is right behind me. And I was standing at customs, and I'd never been to Europe. I figured my forefathers fought to keep us free from it. Why would I go back? So we were going, my wife and I were going to Spain to preach at a conference. And Josue, are you running that camera right now? Can you get away from it? Just leave it. Come over here. Quick. This is Jose. Jose, how do you say S-A-N-T-A-N-D-E-R?
What? Santander.
One more time.
Santander.
One more time.
Santander.
So my wife and I were standing at customs today. My wife and I were standing at customs, and you have to stay 10 feet back. She's up there. And before she went, she said, where do I tell them we're going? And I said, we're going to Santander. How do you say it?
Santander.
Santander in Maine. And I'm standing there, and it's taking forever. And I'm like, what is going on? They're looking at her passport. I'm like, what is going on? Then they bring another guy, and they're all standing there. And I'm like, boy, this is not good. I'm a Maine boy in Europe. And so I had enough. My curiosity, I walked up. And they said, where are you going? Santander. They asked me, where are you going? I'm going to Santander. And all of a sudden, all those guys just started laughing their heads off. And they said, are you going to
Santander?
No, we're going to Santander. After a while, well, thank you. We got it right. After a while, we got it right. Don't clap for that. You haven't clapped for everything else I preach. Why would you clap for that? Don't mess with me. And at that moment, I was thinking, man, these guys could hold us up. I don't know what's going on. That's what Border Patrol does. That's what Border Patrol does. They protect their country from people that cannot come in. I began to think about that. Wait a minute. And the Bible says that the peace of God will guard your heart and guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. I began to realize something. When I know that God takes care of me because He makes me worthy. When I know that God takes care of me because He cares about the details. When I know that God takes care of me because He takes care of things I can't do. You know what I'm building? I'm building a border patrol. I'm building a guard. I'm building a bodyguard. And when fear wants to get into my mind, peace stands up and says, no fear, you can't come in here because God is bigger than what you're bringing in. And He's not afraid of you anymore because He knows His God and His God takes care of every one of His situations. I pray that you'll get border control in your life, that you'll have so much peace that if the economy does dip, you say, my God provides all my needs. I pray that you get so much peace. I'm sorry, I think I'm preaching. I pray you get so much peace that if the doctor says you've got sickness, you say, I know, my God is a healer. I pray that if somebody comes along and says, you'll never get out of this mess, oh no, my God makes a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. And He's not just God on Sunday, He's God on every day. Somebody ought to thank God that He's still involved in the people that love Him. He's a good peace. He brings a good guard. And so tonight, I've come to tell you that God's not going to take away the fear. God's going to make you stronger. God's going to give you courage. You can do this. You're not a weak person. You're not a bad person. There's nothing wrong with you. God loves you. It comes with a relationship with Christ. I've met wealthy people that were scared out of their mind, and I've met broke people that had peace that you couldn't buy. Fearlessness is not a situation. Strength is where God wants you to be. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Bible doesn't say that God gets rid of the valley. He says He makes you stronger than the valley. And tonight, somebody needs to be encouraged, and I hope that you are. But secondly, somebody needs to start a relationship with Christ. Christ will come into your life. It's as easy as this, A, B, C. Admit that you're born a sinner. You came in separated from God. Secondly, believe that Jesus died on the cross for all people. Thirdly, confess that Jesus is Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't be private about it. And then let the peace of God come and overshadow your whole life. And I'm telling you, not only will your heart change, but eventually your situation will change. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, when you pray that prayer, I want to pray that prayer with you. And I want to start a relationship with Christ. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, that's you. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is a different type of service that I'm not going to call you forward. Sometimes I do that, but not tonight. If you just raise your hand, it's a sign to God that, say to God, God, I'm praying when that guy prays tonight. Just slip your hand up nice and high right now. Just slip your hand up nice and high, wherever you are, all over this building. Yes, yes, all over the floor, up into the balcony. We do this family style around here. Let's pray together. Ready? Right this way, right out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I came into this place too far from you, but I want to leave this place in a relationship with you. I was born a sinner. I couldn't change that. But I believe when you died on the cross, you had me in mind. You took the punishment. I get the forgiveness. I'm not ashamed of what you're going to do for me. I receive adoption into your family tonight. Make me strong. Make me courageous. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Lord, I pray for every person that prayed that prayer tonight. God, I thank you that this Christmas can be different. Everything can change. Peace is coming to somebody's life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Thank you for letting me preach a little bit and pray with you. Would you stand together with me? This service is not nearly over. Some of the best is still yet to come. We've got some candles there to be lit. If those that have got the candles would come and help. Thank you for your patience with me. If you got your candle, children have got their glow sticks. And we've got people with lighters that are going to be coming around here and lighting those candles for you. As soon as they do that, we're going to start singing some songs of worship. And I pray tonight that you'll just let the peace of God come. This won't take long. It just takes a minute. Now, if you got hairspray, ladies, keep it away from your hair. That'll be exciting, but it's not time for that yet. All right? Don't light your neighbor's hair on fire. Turn right into a Pepsi commercial. We don't want that to happen. We good? I'm amazed at how quickly that happens. That's fantastic. Excellent, excellent. Excellent. All right. Look, we're going to sing these old Christmas carols. They're going to turn the lights down. But please hear them. Don't worry about if you can sing or not. Nobody can sing around you. They don't know it. But look this way if you would, please. Look this way if you would, please. I've prayed about tonight, and I've asked God that as you sing and you worship Him, that the peace of God will come to you like you haven't had all year. How many think that'd be all right if the peace of God just comes into this place? Let the peace of God come and encourage you tonight.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and rocks, hills, and trees. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations. The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold wind. There's a night that was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. Sing that again. Noel, Noel. Noel, Noel, born is.
shepherd's quays. At the side, glory streams from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is Christ the Savior. Why don't we raise our candles together and sing, "Oh Come All Ye Faithful," together. Look around at all these candles. It's amazing. The Lord is alive, and He's alive, and He's worthy to be praised. So come on, let's sing this together. Be seated tonight, and if you'd like, you can blow out your candle so you don't burn yourself. And please enjoy this next number.
Once upon a time, On a dark and cold winter's night, I saw a bright star shining from the east, and I followed it. All of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy for all mankind. Today, a Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests."
Wow, what a great evening we've had, right? I want to say thank you all very much for joining us. In just a second, we're going to have some characters come out down front for photo opportunities with you and the family. And also, we have a special treat for everybody, if you haven't heard. We've got hot cocoa and cookies in the fellowship hall. So if you don't know where that is, just follow the other 700 people. They know how to get it.
We gather each weekend Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. for a wonderful service. If you're looking for a home church, we would love to have you visit us next week.
And with all your candles, there's a table out back where you're able to drop them as you're taking them home. And the kids can take their glow sticks home. Please have a great, a wonderful Merry Christmas.